All right, it's Friday. We wrap with Royce 3 days a week here on Mackie and Judd, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can also find Royce Unchained with Judd on scorenorth.com and anywhere you find podcasts. So, Pat, the Vikings are staring down the barrel here of Kyler Murray. You got Russell Wilson, the Kevin Stefanski steamed or schemed, I guess, Browns.
They might be steamed.
They might be steamed,
I think,
too.
They're going to beat the Seahawks. They're not going to win Sunday, but they'll beat the Seahawks. Huh. Seahawks aren't that good. I know Russell's never lost to them, right? Isn't he 7-0 or something like that against them?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know.
He's good, but I don't think they're any good. I think they're very, very, very mediocre. He wanted out, for God's sakes, Russell. That was the thing to do this offseason, was to express your unhappiness. And he certainly deserved the right to have more unhappiness than Rodgers, because, he's been running for his life for 4 years there with behind their pathetic offensive line. So, but I think they will, when they come home, they will beat the Seahawks, but they're not going to win this week. I would doubt very much.
How do you keep Chandler Jones from pulverizing Cousins? That's my question. If Rashad Hill is to block him, God help everybody.
C.J. Ham is going to have to stand right behind Rashad Hill the entire game, right, and try to tackle him once in a while and try to, do something. Yes, Chandler is 5 sacks in a game. I mean, you got to go back to ancient times for that. That has to be Deacon Jones against somebody who's terrible or something. Bruce Smith in a terrible blowout. That's incredible. Yeah, I don't see how they win this week. You know, the only turnovers are Kyler throws a couple of bad passes that hit one of the Vikings defensive backs in the chest, which is probably they'd drop it anyway. But as I said earlier this week, that the secondary for being rotten doesn't get quite as much pub as the offensive line does for being rotten, but that secondary to me is in trouble.
Well, they're basically gambling that Patrick Peterson is going to, that Mike Zimmer is going to find, the youth well for Patrick Peterson. And Breland was good for the Chiefs last year, but Breland, there's a reason why Breland was still out there weeks after free agency ran its course. And then Mike Hughes gets the game-sealing interception for the Chiefs in Week 1 at the end of that one.
You got a hard time being mad at him for letting Hughes go, though. I mean, as much as good an athlete as he was, he couldn't play. He couldn't stay on the field. But, obviously the Chiefs see something that they like, and he's an athlete. Yeah, look at the guys they're playing. Who's this other? What do we think of the other safety? Did he do anything? I don't even know who the other safety is.
Xavier Woods. Yeah, he was with Dallas for a few years.
He's just a guy, right? He's a body.
So, he's an average to above average player, if you trust Pro Football Focus.
And, they're cornerbacks. I mean, Patrick was great, but the story on him for at least 2 years has been, why isn't Patrick as good as he used to be, right? Isn't that been he used to be the best in the league. Now he's not. So now you get him, right?
Yeah.
If he was still the best in the league, he'd still be in Arizona. So
if Kendricks and Barr can't play, God help you too. Like,
I didn't see this.
Calf again now. He didn't practice yesterday, and my guess is game time, if that. But if you're down to what, like Troy Dye, Ryan Conley, whatever they have there, that could be a long day.
And one of the games I was watching the other night, or commentaries, shows I was listening to, was the renewed importance of linebackers in the modern NFL, having good linebackers. Because that middle to do something with the middle passing game, that is, nobody throws the ball. They used to say, the linebackers were the guys you didn't want to pay huge money to because the games were decided at the defensive line and the secondary. But the middle passing game now is nobody throws the ball down the field anymore, so it's not like the linebacker is chasing a guy 40 yards down the field like they used to once in a while. But they got to be able to cover somebody in that 15-yard passing range and move around and I mean, Kendrick's their best player, maybe on both sides of the ball. So it's
yeah. I think to your linebacker point, it's like there's been this 20 years ago, you know, the Jack Del Rio type with the, it was like the neck roll, the arms all taped up, and they were there to stop the run, right? They were there to plug the gaps and stop the run. And now it's like, oh, now you have to go cover Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski,
yes,
you know, 15 yards up the seam and keep up with a slot receiver potentially coming across the seam. So it's a different, you're right, it's more important, but it's a different type of role than it was 20 years ago.
Have they ever, in this new era, when they've always been right at the cap, they've had some cap room this year, so it hasn't been a much of a problem. But have they ever, I mean, beyond Cousins, Anthony Barr has had to be the dumbest thing they've ever done, paying him a ton of money to come back the second time on the second contract. Right? I mean, he doesn't play. What did he play, two games last year or not?
Yep, got hurt in the second game.
Two games last year, and, you know.
He missed a month the year before.
Yeah, and he's going to he'll probably come back and play two, three games. And, I was out actually seeing Paul Krause yesterday and about a piece I'm going to do for Sunday about, you know, Wally Nick Tigeloff just died, and then how that old collection of Vikings all ended up living out there together in Lakeville, raising their families. And but he was telling Bud stories, and the old thing about, you know, these guys, obviously 100% different game, what is required to play as an athlete now. But these guys bought homes out there and raised their families without ever having to change jobs. You know, I mean, they played for 10, 12 years, but they played. Look at it. He missed two games in 12 years or something like that. Mike Marshall missed none. Mick Tinglehoff missed none.
God.
I mean,
you know why? Because they got their bell rung, and then they got right back in.
Yeah,
right.
There were no MRI machines for Mick Tinglehoff.
Yeah, right? That is, there's somebody, I think it was Zambi that told me this, you know, 7, 8 years ago. The biggest change in football isn't training, it's diagnosis. It's diagnosis that they now find, and baseball too, they now find an injury, right? That, you know, the guy used to say, I got a sore shoulder, and they rub it down and say, well, I cool. feel around back there. Or they take an x-ray, you know, that some blurry x-ray on a $500 x-ray machine. And they didn't send them through 3 MRI machines looking to see if there's something, see a little tear in there someplace.
It would be really interesting to sit down off the record with Zim and get his opinion of this. I bet it drives him crazy. Everybody going, you know, we got to take him to the facility to get him a, you know, we got to see if something's wrong with that hamstring. Yes. It might be just a little. Zim's like, yeah, just spit on your hamstring and rub it and get back in the game, dude.
Yeah, Zim's the old pirate is, he's not going to be around if he doesn't want a playoff game, I don't think.
I feel like if, you know, this season's already kind of off the rails, you know, losing week one and your linebackers might be out. We'll see what happens. But if they fire him, I would almost guarantee that he becomes a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator at some point. Like he'll latch on with a good team or the Cowboys or something with Dak and go coordinate the defense.
Yes, he will not give it up at age 66 or whatever the hell he is.
He'll coach another 10 years. He'll be Monty Kiffin, basically.
Dick LeBeau.
83 years old. Yeah, Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau. I'm 92, but I'm still stealing defenses.
He'll be on his staff 10 years from now when his kid's a head coach. He'll be on his staff, you know, Monty did. That's true. The wise old owl has a good piece today in the Star Tribune on 60 years ago today. The Vikings beat the Bears. And there's some great quotes in there from Tarkington about, you know, real analysis of Van Brocklin as a coach, basically saying, you know, knew a lot of football, but he was a deranged human being. It's pretty good stuff in there. He's got Rykow Marshall talking about him too. And that, you know, in 60 years of Viking football, it's probably the most unexplainable victory ever.
That, the first game, yeah.
They humiliated the Bears on opening day, 37-13. And they ended up, and I remember being a 15, 16-year-old and saying to my buddies, how the hell did that happen? And then they went 111-1 after that. You know, they lost their next seven. It wasn't like, well, they're better than we thought they were. No, they weren't, but they beat the Bears 37-13 on opening day, and Tarkington ran all over the place. And these old Bears defensive linemen like Doug Atkins, who was a big slow guy, and nobody had ever thought of the concept that you run around these big guys instead of trying to block them, and Tarkington's running around and this guy's down on his knees huffing and puffing. And it's if you can find any video of that game, we didn't know what, crowd was 32,000.
I'm glad you brought this up real quick because you got Kyler Murray against the Vikings this weekend, yes. And there's that clip that went around of him. Judd found the nugget that he ran 43 yards behind the line of scrimmage, around and around and back and forth on one play, and mm-hmm. threw a pass, 18-yard completion, whatever it was. I was born 20 years after Fran Tarkenton started. There's a lot of fans. Is that what it? I mean, is that Fran Tarkenton was the first quarterback to do stuff like that, right?
Oh yes, and his coach. He beat the Bears 37-13 by running around like a madman. And his coach was mad after the game because he didn't want a scrambler, because Van Brocklin had a gut on him like me, later in his life. And he'd go back and stand in the pocket and never run more than a yard, and just use his great arm, as we call it now, great arm talent.
Yep.
To just throw the ball all over the place. It was, Van Brocklin never forgave Tarkington for being mobile. it's an amazing world. I wish he's one of those guys that one of the rare things I was too young for is ever dealing with Van Brocklin. And, he was nuts. He was, fighting with Klobuchar in a bar.
He was a really bad drunk was.
Mean drunk, and he'd get, he'd go home and after a loss and get melancholy and get hammered and then make the guy, then he'd run him. They were up in Bemidji for 7 weeks, spring training camp. 7 weeks, played five exhibition games. Five exhibition games, 14 regular season games.
The incredible
and before thing, that, they'd only played 12. They added two for the expansion team.
The incredible thing, Pat, about that, too, is just how far the sport has come, is that the first ever game played at the Met against the Chicago Bears by an expansion team in this town, which had just become big league, I believe Mark wrote, was 9,000 short of capacity.
Yeah, they were built, they were increasing the size of the stadium was being built. Completed in a different fashion. When the Twins weren't home, they were still building, they were adding the deck upstairs a longer,
in left field,
second deck longer. But I think the first fall it was 41,000. It got up to 47 or 8, right?
Right.
When they built, the Vikings paid for that grandstand out in left field. But when they opened, they just had bleachers in left field.
But 9,000 short.
Yes.
Like that's incomprehensible now, but back then.
Well, the Gophers had gone to the Rose Bowl, and mm-hmm. then there was great anticipation that they were going to be great again. And, it was a Gopher town. We were, you had to make your choice, right? If you were going to spend $350 or $4 for a Gopher ticket, you couldn't then go out and, piss away another $4.
Dad didn't have the extra $4.
For God's sake. Our Norwegians weren't going to be throwing their money around.
I mean, you got to buy a pennant.
What people can't.
Popcorn?
What people don't remember is what money was back then. Money was like, there was, if you were going to getting $5 out of the old man was like a $5 bill was like a prize, you know?
Which is why you now don't carry, what, less than a 20?
Yeah, you can't get in my billfold if you're a 10 or a 5. Only that goes in the pocket, 10s and 5s. Only 20s and 50s. Sorry, the garbage truck is out here making a lot of noise.
Yeah, it's dumping your cash off for the week, it sounds like.
That is true. That is true. But, I mean, it was financial. Well, what? Somebody sent me a World Series ticket, $6 for a 65. $6, and it was a seat, not a grandstand, not a walk, general admission. It was a regular seat. So, It's money was part of it. That's it. You know, plus parking, probably a $2 to park too. For God's sakes, $4 to get in, $2 to park, and 75 cents for a beer. Are you crazy?
that's the genius of the Falcons, man. I don't know if they're still doing it, but when they open that Mercedes Benz or whatever the new stadium is, $1.5 billion palace, and they said beer's going to be $4, hot dogs are going to be $3. It's just like the Masters.
Who should be complaining to get the hell out of someplace, Matt Ryan. They are awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they hired a guy, Arthur Smith, whose claim to fame is his father owns FedEx and has got a, and the guy's like, the kid's a billionaire, you know, in his own right, the kid's got $1 billion and he's trying to pretend like he's a football coach. Come on, go buy an island somewhere.
You know, the problem for Matt Ryan is it's a similar problem that Kirk Cousins has. Those are the two highest cap hits in the NFL next year. So offloading the $48 million cap hit of Matt Ryan and the $45 million cap hit of Kirk Cousins.
Well, isn't that the problem tough. If the Packers get rid of Rodgers too? It's like $45
million. They jacked his cap up to 45 or 46 next year. But wow. I think they can, much like the Vikings with Kirk, they can trade or cut him, and they're only responsible for like a fraction of that. I mean, they still have to eat some money. But
the cap takes the hit, right? Not, they don't pay the money, but they
not necessarily.
Doesn't the cap take a big hit? I thought
a fraction might, but not the entire thing. If the Vikings trade Kirk after the season, I believe they take $10 million cap hit and they save 35. So, yeah.
What is wrong with you guys? Everybody says trading Kirk. There is nobody insane enough to trade for Kirk at that kind of money.
Only takes
nobody
one, Pat.
Nobody is trading for Kirk.
Oh, it only takes one.
D'Lo.
The CFL lacks quarterbacks.
You allow him to do an extension and lower his cap hit with his new team. That's what you do.
That's assuming Kirk wants to play ball and not play hardball.
Nobody. Washington wants Tyler Heineke instead of him, for God's sake.
He'd take an extension. Oh, come on. Teams are desperate. You got to find one dumb team.
Well, look in the mirror.
I can make some calls right now. I'll find one dumb team. And no, it doesn't start in Egan.
All right. So Pat's got the Vikings losing this weekend, but rebounding against the lowly Seahawks in a couple weeks.
All right. And now if Kendricks doesn't play, all bets are off.
Then everyone's getting fired in about a month from now.
Yes, yep. Yes.
All right.
All right, Pat. We'll see you next week.
See you, Jeff.
All right. That's wrapping with Royce here on Mackie and Judd. Love the history lesson there, too. 60 years of scrambling quarterback legacy.
Oh, it's outstanding. Tarkington was fun, man.